Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldredge. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
That we all may be in unity in Jesus Christ. For some of you, you know what today's date is. It is the 4th of May, and so we say, may the 4th be with you, depending on who you are and what age you are. Every year at this time, but especially when it falls on Sunday, our oldest daughter, Leslie, gets really busy texting me all kinds of memes and pictures, because the first time that she and I actually went on a date to go to a movie together was to see Star Wars. The first episode of Star Wars, it was really the 4th episode of Star Wars. Because Disney can't count. I don't know what it is, or Lucas can't count. But anyway, we went to that with a pastor friend in the area and his son. And we watched that movie, and she was sold on that ever since. Barb texted me this morning, and she said, you forgot to take your lightsaber today. I said, I thought real hard about it, trying to figure out how I could fit it into my sermon. And then we sang, these are the days of Elijah, and it talked about a sword. I thought, I looked at her, I said, I should have brought it. I could have had it. But anyway, and for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, just hang on. We're going to get to something you will in just a moment here. So, as you take out your Bibles and find a book of 1 Corinthians. In fact, you could even look up 2 Corinthians if that's easier for you, and just turn back a page, because we're going to be in the very last chapter of 1 Corinthians, finishing it up today. It's been a long time with breaks for Immerse and things that we've been doing this. This is the 28th sermon in 1 Corinthians, and so that covered a long spectrum of months. We started this like a year and a half ago to get through these 16 chapters. And I don't know about you, but First Corinthians always challenges me in so many different ways, and I hope that you've been blessed by that, but also challenged as well. Let's bow in prayer as we come to God's Word again. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be together around your Word. We pray now that the Holy Spirit would use your Word to touch our lives. Father, we thank you that this is your body, the body of Jesus Christ. First Southern is a part of that body. Each individual is a part of that body. And so, Father, speak to our hearts today. Let us be unified in all that we do. Let us make a statement to our community and to our world that Jesus Christ is the one and only, that he is the Savior of the world, that he redeemed us, and that there is a place for everyone in the body of Christ. Now speak to us through your word, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to these last few verses of the book of 1 Corinthians, and you take out your sermon notes to fill in some blanks, I spoke about this a while back, and I didn't take time to look it up, but I know I preached a little bit on a kind of a new phenomena. It's an old new phenomena, if you will. It has to do with a word or phrase that we hear quite often anymore. It is the word influencer. We hear that all the time, that this person is an influencer. And to be more accurate, for the most part, it is a phrase, a social media influencer, because that's where most of them make their big bucks, is in social media. And so social media influencer is someone who does what? They're a person who has somehow become famous for being famous. That's about it. That's the main qualification. If you're famous for being famous, then you can be a social media influencer. And they build a large following online, usually on Instagram and TikTok and other platforms like that on the internet. And these are people who have the ability to influence. What do they influence? They have the ability to influence our thinking. They influence certain people. They don't influence everybody. Not one influencer or social media influencer talks to everybody. They talk to a pocket of people. It could be a large pocket of people, but that certain people they're able to influence. They're able to influence them to buy certain items. Make sure the clothes are right. Make sure the shoes are right. All those types of things. Kind of car to drive. All of those influences are there. They also are able to influence a certain number of people to listen to certain artists, whether they're usually musicians and bands and those types of things. That they influence for people to attend certain events, and so they can have big rallies all of a sudden that just pop up, or they influence us to think certain ways. Celebrity influencers are nothing new in our society. They've been around for a long time. They've been around especially since the time of the radio and then moving forward. They've always been there. They're already successful. They have a small following, and it just builds and builds and builds from there. And a great deal of the advertising was built on the idea that you will drink certain drinks, that you will vote for a certain candidate, that you will hold certain positions, and you're not going to let go of those. And we're in a well right now, I think, there, Mark. But anyway, it is the idea that you should do what they tell you to do. When I think about that, I don't know if that's such a good idea. And that's just a polite word of saying, this is a lousy idea. That we would let somebody into our lives who would influence us in so many different ways, and that we would just follow like blind sheep. But that's what social influencers do. That's what influencers do. And so you have to ask yourself, do I want everything I do to be dictated by somebody else, whether I like them or don't like them? Should I buy the kind of clothes? Should I drink the kinds of soda? Should I eat the kinds of food that I eat or not eat? Should I drive the kind of car that I drive or don't drive? Should I vote the way that somebody else wants me to vote just because they told me to do that? I don't think that's such a great idea at all. And so you have to decide, do I want somebody to influence all those thoughts and ideas that come, behaviors? Are those the kind of people that I want to follow? And obviously, we're going to follow somebody. But the key influencer for the Christian should not be a social media influencer. The key influencer for the Christian should be Jesus Christ. And what he said did should be the guiding light behind everything that we do. In John chapter 13, verse 15, our key verse for the week, this is what Jesus said. He said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. That's who should be our influencer. That's the one that we should follow. And clearly, he needs to be front and center in our circle of influence. But there are others' examples that we need to follow as well. And so the Apostle Paul comes along in 1 Corinthians 11:1, and we've looked at this a few weeks ago. There Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's a pretty bold statement. Number one, that I follow the example of Christ. And number two, that you should be following what I do because I follow the example of Jesus Christ. Other translations for example, in the English Standard Version, has that verse, Paul saying, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And so Paul said, there's only one reason you should do what I ask you to do or follow me, and that's because I follow the example of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see Christ living in me. And that's what we need to look for in examples to follow. We need to be looking at them and asking some questions. Does this person, for example, demonstrate the qualities and characteristics of Jesus Christ? When somebody's trying to tell you how to live and making suggestions to you and saying, this is what ought to be happening, you ought to be saying, do I see Jesus Christ in them? Do I see the example of Jesus Christ, the qualities of Jesus Christ in their life? And do I see the presence of God in this person's attitudes and actions? The things that they're doing, the way they deal with crises and the way that they deal with illnesses and the way that they deal with financial issues and the way that they deal with their marriage and their kids and all those types of things, do I see those attitudes in Jesus Christ? And if I don't see those things, if I don't see what they're doing, that they don't demonstrate the qualities and characteristics of Jesus Christ, I don't see the presence of God in their lives, then these are people that I don't want to follow. But if I see them in their lives, if I see those qualities in their lives, then this is a person I ought to be paying attention to. Because God gives us people around us to be examples. He gives us Jesus Christ, and then he says, now let me show you some people who follow Jesus Christ and pay attention to them as well. And so we have that type of thing. And then these are people that you want to follow, even to the point of imitation. And that category of choosing is what we call finding a mentor or mentors in your life. Sometimes it'll be a person that you just follow online. Maybe you read some of their books they've written. You listen to their sermons, whatever it may be. And you say, wow, I really get a lot out of what they're saying, and they help me in my life. But you don't know them personally. But sometimes you need to find a mentor or mentors in your life. Somebody who's got real flesh and blood that you can go sit down over a cup of coffee or a cup of tea with and talk to them about your life. To talk about spiritual things in your life. But you need to find those same people who demonstrate those qualities of Jesus Christ and who live them out, and then say, I need to pick your brain. I want to spend time with you. But you look for those types of things. It is like an Elijah-Elisha relationship. It is like having a Paul and Timothy type of relationship. People who grow very close together, and one is giving tremendous input into the life of another. And then they will do the same thing with someone else prayerfully down the road. So we're talking about people who have wisdom and who speak into your life and give you guidance on matters of importance. And in order for us to have that right connectedness with others in that type of way that supports spiritual growth, we need to ask ourselves, who are my influencers? Need to make a list. Who are the people I listen to? Who are the people I follow? Who are the people that I say, man, I can't get through the day without going online and listening to what they're saying? What do I know about them? Should they be an influencer? So who do I listen to? Whose opinion do I value? Whose example do I seek to follow? Because there are literally thousands and thousands of them out there. We should seek to follow the best, and we should seek to follow those whose lives reflect that which we see in Jesus Christ. And so in these final paragraphs of 1 Corinthians, here in chapter 16, we're talking today about leadership and influence. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we're going to pick it up at verse 12 today and finish up. And so we begin to see what's happening. Paul, at this point, becomes very personal, and he calls out a few leaders for special recognition. In verse 18, he does that. He's calling out some for special recognition. And he said, you ought to pay attention to them. They're worthy of that. And so today in this final message of this study that we've done through the book of 1 Corinthians, I want to look at some things with you. We're going to look at at these leaders and consider what Paul said about them and consider how we can follow their example. So we're going to look in some of the areas of their lives and in our lives so that we can understand what we need. So as we look at this final section, chapter 16, let's take a moment to look at three examples that we should follow. As we look at this, today we're going to look at three key actions that distinguish a leader from a celebrity. A lot of people have celebrity status, and they become influencers. But do they have anything in them that really distinguishes them as a leader? And so we're going to look at three examples today. The first is Apollos. Apollos. Paul draws attention to him as the first one. What do we learn from Apollos? Know when to defer. When to defer. We have to know when to defer. Apollos knew that. Another way of saying that is know when to stay out of it. A good leader and a good influencer says, there are times when I just need to stay out of it. I need to defer to someone else. You remember the backstory, perhaps, of Apollos? The church in Corinth had quite a bit of division in it. The different groups were attached themselves to different leaders. Some were of Apollos. Some were of Cephas. That's Peter. And some were of Paul. And I suppose were the most elitist bunch of the group there at Corinth, said they were of Jesus. And what they did, they said, this is the guy we follow. He's the best leader. And so we're superior to you because our leader is better than your leader. But they're in the same church. They're in the same church family. And so they got these four major factions within the church. And Paul's calling that out. And a whole bunch of this book has been Paul saying, knock it off. That's not right. That's not how you're to live. That's not how a church is to be. And so he's saying, you got to get beyond that. And so in these early chapters, Paul calls them out and says, this is not good. And he tells them that nonsense needs to stop. So who is Apollos that he has got so many followers? What we know about him is that he was a Jewish leader from Alexandria. And if you wonder where Alexandria is, that was in North Africa. There was a strong Christian following after the dispersion of the Jews from Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, who went to North Africa, and so he was a part of that group, apparently. And the Bible says that he was highly educated and an eloquent speaker. He's referred to in the book of Acts in chapter 18, verse 24, as an eloquent man who was powerful in the scriptures. And so he was a guy that people would just naturally flock to and listen to. And early in the letter, Paul references how he himself had planted in Corinth, and then how Apollos had came along and was watering the plants that he had done. Paul was leading people to Christ, and Apollos was watering them. He was feeding them God's word so that they might grow. And he played an important part in the growth of the church at Corinth. But he and Paul worked together. They weren't competitors. And yet the church looked at them as competitors. Some said, I follow Apollos. You follow Paul. We're better than you. And the other group was saying, no, we're better than you. And Paul said, neither one of you is better than either one. He said, we're not competitors. We're co-workers in the work that God has given to us. And Paul wanted that problem resolved once and for all. So he asked Apollos to go to Corinth and straighten it out. It seemed like a simple thing to do, doesn't it? He called him on the phone and he said, would you go down there? Well, he got in touch with him anyway. And he said, I want you to go. It would be a good thing for you to straighten that out. And Apollos said, in effect, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not going to do that. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 12, our first verse of the day in our passage, it says, "Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers, and he was quite unwilling to go now, but he will come, or he will go, rather, when he has the opportunity." Now, two phrases he uses in there. He said, "I strongly urged him to go." I don't know exactly what he said to him that was strong, but whatever it was, Paul knew it and Apollos knew it. He said, "I strongly urged him to go." And then the other phrase he uses, he was quite unwilling to go. And those phrases are, they speak to us, but they don't fully convey the full extent of what Paul said in the Greek language. In the Greek language, it says, in effect, I begged him to go, and he flat out refused. Why would he do that? Why would he say, "I'm not going to go right now"? Most likely, out of respect for Paul, because they weren't competitors. And I think out of respect for Paul and Paul's position, he said, "No, I'm not going to do that." I think he said, "This is not the time for me." I think he was saying, "You have a closer connection with most of these people than I do." And he said, "You're a strong leader. You need to go in and you need to talk to them. And if there's a matter that needs to be resolved, I'll stay out of your way. I'll defer to you. I am going to stay out of it while you deal with it. If we both show up, or if I go, then my followers are going to say, 'Well, see, Apollos is here and he's so important.'" And Apollos said, "I don't want that to happen." So he said, "Paul, I just want to wait, let you do that." And he said, I realize that if I show up, it might make it more awkward that I'm there. It's an issue that has to be dealt with, but it just takes one of us, and I think it should be you." And so in Acts 18, Luke tells us that Apollos had preached boldly in the synagogue and taught about Jesus, but he knew only about the baptism of John and Priscilla and Aquila, who were there in the church, who we'll meet in a couple of points from now, heard him preach and invited him into their home. So you have Apollos who shows up, very eloquent and strong in the scripture, but he needs some help. Even though he's a leader, he still needs help. And so in Acts chapter 18, verse 26, it says that they explained the way of God even more accurately to Apollos. Why? Because Apollos had only heard about the baptism of John the Baptist. And so he didn't really understand the fullness of a life in Jesus Christ that takes place when you trust him to be your Savior and Lord. It wasn't a knock on him, but you got to remember there were no New Testaments written at this time. And because of where he was coming from, down in Alexandria, there weren't a lot of apostles who'd gone down there. Like zero, for sure, that we know about had gone down there. And so he knew about the baptism of John the Baptist, and so Aquila and Priscilla knew about the life in Jesus Christ and what it means to trust Christ as your Savior and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that takes place when you trust Jesus. And so they bring him to their home and they said, "You know, you're a great leader and you're strong in the scripture, but we want to hone your understanding a little better." And so they spent time with him and doing that. And you know what happened? Apollos listened. He listened. A lot of leaders would say, "You're not going to tell me what to believe. You're not going to tell me what to do." But he listened to them. He was a leader, but he was teachable. He didn't have to be the one to make everything about himself. He knew when to defer. He deferred to the Apostle Paul, and he deferred to Aquila and Priscilla, who were leaders in the church. There are times when we ourselves simply need to stay out of it. There are times when conflict arises between our friends, or when conflict arises in our family members, or even in our with our grown children between them. And we may say, I just got to jump in and fix all of this. And we need to make sure, if we're going to be a leader and influencer, that we're not stepping in when we should be deferring, when we should be staying out of it. Just say, let them figure this out. Let the Holy Spirit lead them. And so this is who Apollos was. There are times in your church at work, your work here at church, when you're going to have to defer, when you're going to have to stay out of it, when you're going to say, I know how to do that ministry better. I would do it differently and it would be done better. I don't like how it's happening right now, but it's not your ministry right now. And you need to step out. You need to stay out of it. You need to defer. If you want to be a leader, if you want to be an influencer for Jesus Christ, you have to understand that you can't always get your way. Sometimes you just have to listen. Sometimes you have to learn. You have to be teachable. And none of us like to do that. But ultimately, a leader can't be a servant if the leader has to be in charge of literally everything. Sometimes you just have to say, this is not my job. And I'm going to let them do their job, even though I would do it differently. Social media influencer would say, there's only one way, and I'm telling you what it is. God says there's his way, and sometimes he's not going to use you to change people. He's going to use somebody else, or he's going to use some other means to change them. But we have to learn, if we're going to be leaders and social and influencers, what we need to do. We hear this phrase a lot today, stay in your own lane. Barb's always telling me that when I'm driving. But we need to do that sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we just stay in the lane God gave to us. We don't have to fix every problem on the planet Earth. We don't have to fix every problem in Prescott Valley. We don't have to fix every problem at First Southern. Sometimes we just have a lane and we need to stay in it. Because there are other people who are also influencers and leaders in the church, and God is using them. And so we see in Apollos this example of a guy who said, you know what? I just know there are times to defer. And I'm going to stick in my lane. I'm going to stay out of everybody else's lane. The second thing that we see that we need to understand and follow is that we need to seek to refresh others. That's Stephanas. Stephanas is this interesting guy. We don't know a whole lot about him, but he is a guy who says, you know what, I'm going to refresh others. In chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, Paul said, I was glad when Stephanas and Fortunatus and Acacius arrived, because they had supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. Such men deserve recognition. Verse 18, he said, you need to follow what they do, but you need to recognize the value that they are. There's three individuals that had come from to Ephesus where Paul was working when he wrote the letter, this letter from 1 Corinthians. Paul had left Corinth and was working in Ephesus. They came up from Corinth to Ephesus, and he mentioned earlier in the chapter they had this great opportunity for ministry was there, and he was also facing great opposition while he was there. And so the arrival of Stephanas and the others lifted his spirit, got him up out of his doldrums and the insecurity of ministry that he was involved with, and just the hardship of it. And Paul said this about Stephanas and his associates in verse 15. He says, they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. He said, they have devoted themselves to serving the saints. What a compliment to be to what a worthwhile goal, to refresh others. He said, they refreshed me. I found refreshment in their visit. Someone once said that a word of encouragement during a failure is worth more than an hour of praise after success. Sometimes when you're struggling, somebody who comes along and just refreshes you, who just encourages you, is what you need to hear. And so if you're going to be a leader, if you want to be an influencer in the body of Christ, sometimes you just have to say, okay, who do I need to be refreshing right now? And that's important. Dr. Jerome Moto was a psychiatrist from the University of California in San Francisco. I don't know if he's still there or not, but at this time he was. And he told this particular haunting story about a man who ended his life one day on the Golden Gate Bridge. And you know that happens all the time. And for a year, drove across the Golden Gate Bridge on my way to seminary, and there's just hundreds of people who are walking on that bridge, and unfortunately, many choose to jump off. And he said that this man was in his 30s, and he lived alone, and he felt alienated from everyone. So one afternoon, he wrote a note, left it on his bureau, and the note said, I'm going to walk to the bridge. If even one person smiles at me on the way, I won't jump. Not even one person could refresh him with a smile. The people we encounter every day, day in and day out, may not be in such dire straits. Maybe they are. We won't know that for sure. We may not know that they're walking to the bridge, hoping and praying somebody would just smile at them, would encounter them with a smile or a word of refreshment. But I'll tell you one thing we can be sure of, that those people that we encounter day in and day out all have one thing in common. You know what that one thing is? They all need encouragement. Every person you meet will be a person who needs encouragement. Yesterday, Barb and I were driving around, and we were in several communities here in our county. And everywhere we went, Barb was smiling and giving encouragement to people. Every place we left, the people that she encountered had a smile on their face when they left, or when we left. Chick-fil-A founder Truett McCathy once said, how do you recognize a person who needs encouragement? Easy. They're breathing. Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody around us. And what if you were to make your objective to be the breath of fresh air that others so desperately need? What if you set out to uplift those around you in the challenges that they face? That's what we're called to do. Who knows? People might still be reading about you in 2,000 years. Just like we read about Stephanus, who just refreshed the Apostle Paul. A leader is devoted to the service of others, or at least they should be. And the one way we serve is to encourage each other, to invigorate those who've lost their vig, to say, you don't have to face this all alone, to refresh those who need help along the way. And so we find those who know when to defer, and we find leaders who know when to refresh, and then we've come to Priscilla and Aquila. They were tent makers with the Apostle Paul. They met in Corinth. They worked together in building tents and making tents, but they also worked together in building a new church in Corinth. And they had a lifelong, from that point on, apparently, this wonderful relationship. And they were examples of, number three, do good wherever you go. Know when to defer. Know when to refresh. But always do good wherever you go. They were originally in Rome, this couple. They were a Jewish couple. And in about 49 AD, the Emperor Claudius banished all the Jews from the city of Rome. And so they had to leave. Even though they weren't causing any problems, they had to leave with all the other Jews. And so somehow they ended up in Corinth after that. And that's where they met the Apostle Paul. And they served together. And then from there they went to Ephesus. And again, working with Paul. And there they were able to return to Rome. And so wherever they went, they engaged in ministry. And also wherever they went, they served God's people. They served God's people wherever they found themselves. I mentioned before the role they played in mentoring Apollos. And they saw his potential and they invested their lives in his future. And they also had a habit of opening their home as a gathering place for God's people. And remember, there were no church buildings at that time. The church was a church, but it met in homes or in other kinds of locations, but there were no buildings. Nobody said, this is our church building. Look for the big steeple on the front of it, on top of it, and you'll know our church. That wasn't the case. And so they would invite people into their home. And Paul says in verse 19, Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their home and or at their house. And so the church at Corinth was meeting at the house of this couple. And later in Paul's ministry, when he wrote about the church at Rome, or to the church at Rome, he said this in Romans 16, 3 through 5. He said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house. So wherever they went, they looked for ways to partner with other leaders in ministry and to serve the church of Jesus Christ. Those were their two main things to do. And they were really good at it. I'm going to tell you a story. This is a true story. It's about a man and his wife, Bill and Treva. And for decades they lived in Arkansas. And they both served the church while they worked full-time jobs. Bill was a judge and Treva was a law clerk. And after they retired, they began attending one of the larger churches in their city, where their only responsibility after all those years of serving on Sunday was to sing along with the hymns and listen to the sermon. That's it. But one day, they had a dinner with a friend. And the friend, as they were eating dinner and discussing, mentioned to Treva, who played the piano, he said that he knew of a church in desperate need of a musician. He said, there's a guy filling in, but he's no good. And he knew he was no good because he happened to be the guy who was filling in. He was the pastor of the church. He was good at that, playing the piano, not so much, apparently. He said, could you consider lending a hand? You know what? Immediately, they did. Draper plays the piano, and Bill helps out in many ways around the church. This pastor went through a very long, arduous battle with cancer over the last couple years. And he said, all along the way, they simply filled in for me. I said, here's a need. Here's a place where we can do good. And so we'll continue to do good. Reminds me of the attitude of something that John Wesley said. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. That's an example of Priscilla and Aquila, and Bill and Trevia as well. The question we need to be asking ourselves, well, it's not what's most convenient for me. That's what most of us ask, but that's not the right question to be asking. The question is not what's most convenient with me. The question is, where can I do the most good? How can I lend a hand? That's what's most important. So whether it's in Rome or Greece or rural Arkansas somewhere, a servant leader looks for the opportunity to do good wherever they are. For most of his career, Albert Einstein kept a portrait, we're told, of two men, two scientists on the wall of his office, Isaac Newton and James Clerk Maxwell. Then toward the end of his life, he replaced those portraits with two others, Mahatma Gandhi and Albert Schweitzer. He did this, he said, because it's time to replace the image of success with the image of service. I don't know, maybe Dr. Albert Schweitzer heard that or read that somewhere. Because Albert Schweitzer spent decades of his life serving as a medical missionary in Central Africa. He won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1952. And maybe Einstein had inspired those words when Schweitzer said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will truly be truly happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. There are thousands and thousands of people today who wear the label influencer. They're known for marketing their opinions. But what can opinions really accomplish? A Brazilian novelist, Paulo Coelho, said this. He said, the world is changed by your example, not your opinion. You want to change the world? You want to change lives? You want people to come closer to Jesus Christ and trust him as Savior and Lord? Your opinion is not going to get anybody there, but your service will. When you understand your role of leadership and your lane that you're in, when you're willing to refresh others, and when you're willing to do good whenever you can and wherever you can, in all the ways you can, when you're willing to be a servant, you can do that. It's what a leader looks like, and that's how leaders make a difference. They serve. It's how we make a difference as well, whether you see yourself as a leader or not. When you decide to serve, when you look for ways, and when we do what we can in each situation to make it better than it was, we make a difference. Paul said in verse 16, submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. And what a great idea. After scolding this church, after helping them to learn, after trying to get them on the right footing again, he says, let's just work at it together. Let's be influenced by those who give us the best example to follow. Let's look for ways that we can use our area of leadership to serve others. Ultimately, our goal is to bring people to the cross, to Jesus Christ. Where the footing is level, where redemption takes place. But we have to have a servant's heart to get people there. We're all leaders. We're all influencers in some people's lives. Let's be influencers who influence for the right reasons in the right direction. Father, thank you for your grace in our lives. We thank you for Jesus Christ who changes everything. And I understand most of the people in here today have felt that change. They know Jesus as Savior and Lord, which makes us those who can influence. We are to imitate Jesus Christ. We're to imitate people like the Apostle Paul, who are demonstrating who Jesus Christ is. So, Father, today we pray that your will would be accomplished in every way possible. If there's one today who's in this room or somebody who's online with us who's never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, we pray that today would be that day that they trust Jesus, that they find their sins are forgiven, that they confess, they repent, and they trust Jesus by asking him to come into their heart to be their Savior and Lord. Father, what a great day this would be. Now, Father, we pray that as we leave this room, that we would leave it with servants' hearts, to know that we are one in Jesus Christ, that every one of us is important. Every one of us needs encouragement. Every one of us can be an encourager at the same time. Father, work in our lives, even right now, for we pray these things in Christ's most precious name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. If you want someone to pray with you right now, you come. I'd be glad to do that with you.
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.